Christ-worthy name. As we continue our studies of Old Testament texts and scriptures in the light of the New Testament truth. Listen, if you will, please, for the announcement of meetings at the end of this program. Today we are studying the second part of Psalm 22. In our last broadcast, we read of the awful suffering that Christ endured both at the hands of men and at the hands of God, as shown in this psalm. We are reminded, too, of Christ's words which he spoke to those two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, when he told them of things written by Moses, the prophets, and how all the scriptures contained things concerning himself. We saw in Psalm 22:6 that Christ was brought to such weakness and suffering until he said, "I am a worm and no man." We saw how he gave up his life, as did the worms in the Old Testament, in order to give their scarlet color from the blood so they could dye garments. And today it is only through Christ's blood that our sins, which are scarlet, can be washed as white as snow, according to Isaiah 1:18. In the 14th verse of this psalm, he said, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." 2 Corinthians 13:4 says Christ was crucified in weakness. But we thank God in resurrection, he could say, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." As we continue in Psalm 22, we shall see it refers back to Christ's birth. It tells of the men who stood around Christ's cross and gives us further details of his suffering and of his great victory. It also speaks of a new family of his brethren. In verse 8, we are told he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. And in the end, he did. He delivered him in resurrection. Verse 9 looks back to his birth and says to God, "Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast." What other child was ever made to hope upon his mother's breast? Most of us were a good many years old before we began to hope. But not so with Christ. He was born Emmanuel, God with us. Even as a babe, he was God the Son. He was the Word who became flesh. It is hard for our finite minds to take that in. Everything about Christ and creation can only be understood by faith. Those who do not have faith will have to remain in ignorance and doubt. Christ came to do his Father's will and could say, "I do always those things that please my Father." When he was lost in the crowd as a boy of 12, he told his parents, "Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" In verse 10 of Psalm 22, he said, "I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." He also calls to God in verse 10 and says, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help." In verses 12 and 13, he speaks of being encompassed about with many bulls that gaped upon him as a roaring and a ravening lion. In verse 16, he says, "Dogs have compassed me about." These no doubt refer to the religious leaders and the Gentiles. He also said, "The assembly of the wicked have encircled me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Yes, Christ in resurrection showed his hands and his feet and his side. Someday his nation will ask when they see him, "What are these wounds in thy hands?" And they shall look upon him whom they pierced, according to Zechariah 13 and 6 and 12 and 10. In those wounds, Christ bears... They make it possible for him to save his creatures, for he was wounded for our transgressions. Then in verse 21, he calls upon God to save him from the lion's mouth. Peter tells us that Satan goes forth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Paul says Christians are a spectacle to men and to angels, and that doubtless takes in Satan and his fallen angels. No event in history was ever watched more intently by earthly and heavenly hosts than the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. Not only was there all class of people, but also the unseen host, the biggest person in the ladder, Satan himself. When Adam and Eve sinned, Satan heard God say, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head," or the devil's head. Christ was the seed of the woman, and by dying, he did that very thing. Personally, I have often tried to picture Satan fuming around that cross, perhaps saying to himself, "I caused Abel to die, also Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I conquered all the kings and the prophets, and soon I'll conquer this Jesus in death." But we read that through death, Jesus defeated the devil. Satan did not have a chance to take him in death. From that cross he cried, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Thus he proved himself stronger and greater than the devil, and was able to deliver those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Christian needs to have no fear of death, for Christ has conquered it and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. It seems to me Christ's great victory over Satan should be read with this psalm. We read in Hebrews 2:14-15, and I quote, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Unquote. When Satan will be cast out of heaven in Revelation 12, he knows he has only a short time. Soon after that, he will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and will finally be cast into the lake of fire. Thus his doom is sealed. Christ, his conqueror, sits in heaven now on his Father's throne, where he has been exalted far above all principality and power and might and every name that is named. He is also exalted there, a prince and a savior. Psalm 22:20 says, "The kingdom is the Lord's, and he is governor among the nations." At his coming, he will prove that. In the meantime, Psalm 22:22 is true. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." In resurrection, Christ has many brethren. Romans 8:29 says he's the firstborn among many brethren. In resurrection, before he went to heaven, he sent word to his disciples, saying, "Tell them I ascend to my Father and to your Father, and to my God and your God." In John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The moment a person trusts Christ and receives him into his heart, God sends his Holy Spirit into their hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Yes, Christ is all the way to the Father. The moment we trust him, we can say in fellowship with him, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In Hebrews 2:10, we read that God is bringing many sons into glory through him. In order to save us, he gave up his only begotten Son. Now he is going to have a whole new family of sinners in glory who have all been saved while on earth. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Yes, beloved friends, Jesus coming to change the bodies of Christians in resurrection into glorified bodies, that they may be able to live in heaven. To go to heaven, we must have our souls saved and our bodies changed, and only the Lord Jesus can do this. Many today are talking about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. The brotherhood of man can only be of those born of Adam. We all belong to that human family of earth. Christ said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or of heaven." He also spoke of those who rejected him and said, "Ye are of your father the devil." Surely those could not be called the children of God. He also said the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. The children of this world are not those who are born again for the next or heavenly world. In John 1:12-13, We are told simply and plainly how to become God's children. And I quote, to as many as receive Him, Christ, to them God gives the power or the right to become the children of God. Until a person receives Christ as Savior, he has no right to call himself a child of God, nor call God his Father. John 1 and 13 says, God's children were born not of blood, that is, not of race, nor of the will of the flesh, that's what we do ourselves, nor the will of man, that means man's religion or the ordinances that man puts us through. But we are born of God. Only God can save sinners, and only God can put us into a spiritual family. The Holy Ghost must convict us of sin. Christ had to die for our sins, and we must receive Him into our hearts to receive this new life and be born of God. It is a divine birth and a divine nature. We must be born again to become children of God. Let each one make sure he has been born of God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy great love in sending Thy Son to save those who are born of sinful Adam, those who had no right to heaven, and because of sin deserved to go to hell. But Thou didst so love the world to give Thy Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That they might enter into a life that's forever, because they have received that life in Christ now. Oh, give men and women, boys and girls, to understand it. And give them faith to believe on the Lord Jesus, we pray, that they might not miss this great salvation. Bless all of our listeners. Many are tried and oppressed and grieved and sorrowing. Give them grace to look to Thee through Christ and to trust Thee. We ask in His worthy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.